last week, and we have a tentative date of June 7th for gathering together. We will split the congregation in half. We have enough space in here to hold 80 every other row, which is about half the congregation. And so we'll send out more detailed plans for that. You can see that in the bulletin that we sent out this week. We'll change up how we do the offering and how we do communion so as to protect everyone. If between now and June 7th this virus gets worse once again, we'll revisit that. We're giving a few weeks just to see how the state of Georgia does and whether it's wise to proceed that way or not. Even so, we will continue to broadcast during that time, and we're looking into options to upgrade the broadcast. Hopefully your sound will be infinitely better this week. We have something that will pick up the piano, and then Tori and Lynn are both here singing today. So hopefully all of that will work well. Just a few other quick announcements. Thank you for your giving. The Lord has blessed, and with cutting back on expenses, we're in the black for the year, so thank you very much for your giving. You can continue to give either by mailing it in or by sending it to that PCA Foundation. They've been sending us your gifts once a week, and that's working fine. Newton Pregnancy Center is going to continue to do its 5K, but it's going to be virtual, so you go ahead, sign up. You put in your information, and prizes will be rewarded accordingly. So that's a way to support them. They continue to meet with clients. In fact, I talked to Rachel this week, and they've had a number of women who are abortion-minded coming in, and all of them have chosen to protect the baby at this time. So continue to pray for that, and this is a great way to help support them. As I mentioned last week, the baby bottle campaign, which is the best fundraiser of the year, is being put off until churches are meeting and we can get those out. Willing Helpers Food Bank, we were able to send a large amount of peanut butter and jelly and some pasta and all this week. They continue to need those things, particularly spaghetti, pasta sauce, peanut butter, jelly. Canned goods are always welcome, cereal, that kind of stuff. They do have large needs right now, so please continue to remember them. And as you're able to give, you can either drop it at church. If no one's here, just leave it right outside the door, and I should be back shortly. Or you can deliver it yourself on Tuesdays or Thursdays. Sometime between 12 and 1 o'clock, they're less busy, and it's an easy time. I dropped it off this week at 12:15, and there was no line there, so that worked well. I think that's it on announcements. We are here to worship, so let's take a moment to prepare our hearts for that. When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dream. Then our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongue with shouts of joy. Then they said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us. We are glad. Let us celebrate him with hymn number 2 from the Trinity hymnal, O Worship the King.
O worship the King, O glorious above, O gratefully sing his power and his love, our shield and defender. Days, pavilioned in splendor and girded with praise. O tell of his might, O sing of his grace, whose robe is the light, whose canopy space, his chariots of red, the deep thunder clouds form, and dark is his path on the wings of the storm. The earth with its store of wonders untold, almighty your power has founded of old, established it fast by a changeless decree, and round it has cast like a mantle the sea. Your beautiful care, what tongue can recite? It breathes in the air, it shines in the light. It streams from the hills, it descends to the plain, and sweetly distills in the dew and the rain. Frail children of dust and feeble as frail, in you do we trust, nor find you to fail. Your mercies, how tender, how firm to the end, our Maker, Defender, Redeemer, and Friend. O measureless might, ineffable love, while angels delight to hear you above, the humbler creation, the feeble their lays, with true adoration shall lisp to your praise.
Pray. Heavenly Father, how joyful it is that you are our King, and we humbly come before you, submitting to your sovereign will in all things, asking for you to help us see ourselves in Christ by the power of your Holy Spirit, to know we are yours, to know your goodness, to know your faithfulness, to know your steadfast love and your power, and to rest in them. Help us even now, as we have been so blessed, to give ourselves back to you, to worship you, to give thanks to you, to praise you in your glory. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our confession of sin today is from Psalm 32, one we use often. It's David celebrating the incredible blessing. This is after he had been confronted by Nathan, and he finally, after several months, had confessed his sins and the weight of guilt and the weight of fear that was removed from him. Here's the gift of God, that as we worship him in light of his mercies, we are blessed, so that in turn we might bless him all the more. May his word help us even now. Let's read responsively, then silently each of us confess of our own sins. Blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord counts no iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. For when I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. Oh Lord, how thankful we are that even as we resist you, yet you pursue us. And what feels like shame and wrong are actually the pathway to freedom and to life and to blessedness. Thank you for giving those gifts to us. Help us even now, because Jesus has finished his work, to trust in that, to repent, and to live in that new life he has purchased for us. It's in his name we pray. Amen. Hear his pardon for you from Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good so your youth is renewed like the eagles. Amen. Our reading this morning is from Psalm 111, again, helping us to see some of the many blessings the Lord has for us. Again, read responsively. Praise the Lord.
I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart, in the company of the upright, in the congregation.
Great are the works of the Lord, studied by all who delight in them.
Full of splendor and majesty is his work, and his righteousness endures forever.
My place. He has caused his wondrous works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and merciful.
He provides food for those who fear him. He remembers his covenant forever.
He has shown his people the power of his works in giving them the inheritance of the nations.
The works of his hands are faithful and just. All of his precepts are trustworthy. They are established forever and ever.
He sent redemption to his people. He has commanded his covenant forever.
Holy and awesome is his name.
The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All those who practice it have a good understanding.
His praise endures forever.
May the Lord bless this reading of his holy word. Let's continue our worship, coming together before him in prayer. Lord, we give thanks. We give thanks that you are the one who has blessed us and who has made us your people. That you, Lord, have covered all of our sin, all of our iniquity, all of our rebellion. Lord, you have blessed us by providing for us out of your abundance, both physically and emotionally, intellectually and spiritually. You have given us yourself. You have shown us your power. You have made us free to come and to behold your glory. You have given us your name and an inheritance that will last forever. We are your people, your children, and you are our God. Oh Lord, help us even now in the midst of this pandemic to understand that and to trust in that, despite circumstances, despite what anyone else might say. Lord, we are yours, and so we entrust ourselves to you. Indeed, we entrust our whole world to you, Lord, that you have promised to be at work for good, and so we ask even now, Lord, we pray especially for the many who are suffering with this virus, that you would help them to behold your goodness, either in your delivering them from it now or delivering themselves to you. We pray for the incredible number of people who have lost loved ones. Lord, we ask that you would be their comfort. Lord, that you would make clear that there is a hope beyond death, that Jesus is the resurrection and the life, and those who are his will never die. Lord, would you send forth that comfort? Would you help people to hear, to see, to understand, and to trust? We pray, Lord, that indeed you would be at work, that you would raise up your people to faithfully proclaim your name in every opportunity, in every circumstance. We pray, Lord, as businesses and life begins to try to head back towards normal, that we might keep our eyes on you regardless of circumstance. And again, that we might be faithful to share the reason for the hope we have in spite of all that's going on. Lord, grow that hope. Show us your glory that we might not be distracted by anything else. And help us to be your blessing. Lord, we continue to pray for your sustaining mercies and help for the Moors as Richard continues to receive treatment. As they drive back and forth every day, would you be with them? Would you just continue to protect and provide and bless that treatment? Continue to ask for your healing for Hannah from her surgery and the full restoration in the future, Lord, according to your good plan. We continue to give thanks with the Kerrs for their son's Rich's continued recovery. Would you bless that? Lord, we pray for the many others, many of whom we're not even aware of, who are suffering right now in our midst because of sickness or loneliness or just deprivation of not having their regular life. We thank you again, Lord, that all those things we have taken for granted, you have helped us to see. And we ask that you would help us to receive those lessons with thanksgiving and trust. Father, we pray that you might be at work powerfully. We thank you for the encouraging news from the pregnancy center this week and how they are continuing to bless mothers and their babies and protecting them. Thank you, Lord, for the incredible opportunity for Willing Helpers Food Bank and for the many who are being blessed through there. Do you help us to continue to be a blessing and a support there? We thank you, Lord, for continuing to watch over our doctors and nurses and technicians and our first responders. Lord, would you continue to give grace to them for all that they are dealing with day by day? And again, help them in the midst of that to be your blessing. Lord, just open the eyes for each one of us. Help us to be aware of neighbors who are in need and find ways to be able to bless that need. Help us, Lord, to just be diligent to pray, knowing that that is the greatest work, the greatest blessing of all. We pray for our young people, Lord, whose plans have been frustrated. Would you help them to find their fullness in you? We pray for those, Lord, who are isolated and cut off. Would you help them to just be very aware of your presence? We pray for our nation's leaders, Lord, that you would help them to die to self and to truly lead with your wisdom. Would you, Lord, bring revival? Would you convict us of sin? Would you convict us that there is righteousness available in Christ Jesus? And would you help us to trust him? It's in his name we pray. Amen. We have some special music today from Lynn and Tori, The Blessing.
Keep you, make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Thank you. bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Amen. 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 May his favor be upon you and a thousand generations, and your family, and your children, and their children, and their children. May his presence go before you, and behind you, and beside you, all around you, and within you. He is with you, he is with you, in the morning, in the evening, in your coming, in your going, in your weeping and rejoicing. He is for you, 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 he is for you.
Scripture reading this morning is just that. It's from Numbers 6, 22 through 27. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to Aaron and his son, saying, 'Thus you shall bless the people of Israel. You shall say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.' So shall they put my name upon the people of Israel, and I will bless them." Let's pray. Oh Lord, even now, bless us. Give us your Spirit. Help us to see ourselves in Jesus, to hear, to see, to believe that we are your blessed people. Right now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. What have you lost? What is it right now, in the midst of this pandemic, that you're not able to do that you had planned on doing? Who is it that you're not able to see that you had hoped to see? What plans for your future are now on hold? We heard somebody yesterday had their wedding over the internet. It's not quite the same, is it? Heard of others, on the other hand, who've had to bury loved ones and no one was allowed to come. What is it you have lost? See, part of the struggle with this pandemic is that our worlds have narrowed and shrunk. And we begin to believe that there's not much else to life. But the truth is, there's a whole lot more. We need to have our horizons broadened and our sight restored. And one of the great themes that runs all the way through Scripture is that of blessing. That our true identity is that we are a blessed people. Your true identity is that you are a blessed person. In Genesis 1, God creates Adam and Eve in His own image. Do you know what the first thing He does after creating them? He blesses them. Genesis 1:28. In calling Abraham to be His servant, the first thing He does is, I will bless you and make your name great so that you can be a blessing. David, as a young boy whose own father forgot him, the first way we find him is being blessed by Samuel. Jesus is blessed by two different people, Anna and Simeon, at His birth. Jesus is blessed at the beginning of His public ministry as He's baptized, with the Spirit descending and the Father proclaiming, "This is My Son with whom I am well pleased." Blessings are at the heart of Scripture. In fact, that idea is used 544 different times. To bless means to be filled with benefits, with good things, to make happy. The word that we get from Latin, benediction, simply means good word. But again, it's God's good word. And when God speaks, it is so. And we need to remember that as God blesses, it often carries the idea that He's blessing so that you might be a blessing. That is, that you might be like Him. Because that's what you were made for. The word actually can have a secondary meaning of praising. And that's the other way Scripture uses it again and again. We bless God, acknowledging Him for who He is and all He has done, all that He is doing, and all that He has promised to do. That blessing just overflows from all of Scripture. And we're going to take the next several weeks in the midst of this pandemic to remind ourselves that we are a blessed people. We're going to look at a number of blessings. Next week we'll stretch that a little bit, but we're going to look at these blessings over the next several weeks. And as we start that, we need to be reminded the other truth of Scripture is that we often forsake those blessings. God, through Jeremiah, told His people. He brought them to His courts, which includes the heavens and the earth. And He said, "Be appalled, O heavens, at this. Be shocked, be utterly desolate, declares the Lord. For My people, those who belong to Me, have committed two evils. They have forsaken Me, the fountain of living waters, and hewn out cisterns for themselves, broken cisterns that can hold no water." That instead of God's blessing, His people had forsaken Him for something that was broken and wouldn't satisfy. Paul makes it clear that's not just an Israel problem, Romans 1. "Or although they knew God," he's talking about all humanity, "they did not honor Him as God or give thanks to Him, but became futile in their thinking, and in their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things." We were made to be blessed and to be a blessing. And yet Scripture makes clear so often we settle far below what God has for us. Several years ago, we were talking about idolatry, and that's really what we're talking about with these false blessings. What is it we settle for? Because Scripture calls those things idols. And you know them best by asking yourself a few questions. What is it you run to when you need comfort? You go shopping. Do you turn on a movie? Do you look for popcorn? Or you can look at it the other way. What is it that keeps you awake at night? What is it you're fearful about, or what is it you're angry over? Often that helps you to recognize an idol. Or another question, what person or thing, if lost, would make your life not worth living? And then finally, where does your mind go when empty? What do you daydream about? Those are the things we look for in blessings. If your blessing is found in something, though, how long do you have it before you start worrying about it falling apart or being injured or broken? Now, yesterday we spent the day putting in new shrubs at our house. And I went up this morning and took a quick look around just to see what deer or rabbits may have done to our new plants. In God's mercy, they were all right where they were supposed to be. Whether they'll survive the next couple weeks or not, we'll see. But what is it you expect? Because if your hope is in a relationship, how long will another person satisfy you? How much control will you have to exercise over them to get what you want? And you know, behind all of this, if we're thinking about it biblically, so often the problem is we settle for the gifts and try to turn them into everything while ignoring or forgetting the gift giver. And I think that's especially true as we go through a time of testing like we are right now, which is why we need God's blessings, these good and precious gifts. So, let's look at this blessing here, because as with all the other blessings, the heart of it is knowing and enjoying God as the gift giver. He himself is the true and lasting gift. Verse 24 starts us out. The Lord bless you and keep you. It's echoing Genesis 1, actually. He is our provider, the provider of all that we need. And he is the protector of all that he gives to us. Protecting us from harm, protecting us from all that threatens. It brings to mind Jesus' rebuke of those who are anxious in Matthew 6. Jesus says, therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you'll eat or what you'll drink, nor about your body, what you'll put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Jesus ends that with, the Gentiles seek after these things, but your heavenly Father knows what you need. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. All these things will then be added to you. Think about it. How often has the Lord provided something for you before you knew you needed it? I'm always amazed as I spend time reading scripture and doing things. I learn something, and then within moments, sometimes, days, other times, it's exactly what someone else needed to hear. Or how often has God provided for you in abundance so that you, when you met someone who was in need, you had plenty to share with them? Again, the Lord blesses because he's good, and he provides perfectly, not always what we want, but always what we need, especially in light of eternity. But there's more. Verse 25. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. Now, what is a shining face? I would put to you, you've all seen it. It's a face with a smile that lights up far more than just the mouth being upturned, but involves the eyes and the whole face itself. It's a child at Christmas or under birthday getting the gift that they most wanted. Or maybe an hour later as they play with the box that the gift came in. You've seen that smiling face. Or those people who are falling in love. Again, one of the great jobs I have as a pastor is to have that clear view of the bride and of the groom as they see each other on their wedding day. Most of the time, those are shining faces. Sometimes they're terrified faces, but shining is all, more often the thing. Those people who are showing you their newborn or their grandchild. A shining face is a face full of pleasure and delight. And the heart of the blessing here is that's how your Father looks at you. You are his great pleasure and his delight. And with him, the shining is literal. Remember, Moses at this time would go meet with God face to face, and the Shekinah glory would descend upon the tent. And as Moses came forth, that shining would still be expressed in his face. And that's what a shining, a smiling face does to you. It causes you to smile. Because it's in this smile that we find grace. That's what he's telling us here. In that smile, we find grace. And that word that's used there is a word that is actually translated a number of different ways. It includes God's loving kindness. It includes his mercy, his goodness. That as we see God's smile upon us, we should know we are loved. We should know we are forgiven. We should know he is good. That's part of the blessing here. Third part is in verse 26. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. As the Lord looks on you, as he shows you his shining face, it's in that smile that we find peace. Now again, we live in a day and an age where peace is sometimes taken for granted because we're not at war and we're not always fearful of someone taking from us. But if you've had your house broken into, if you regularly travel to an area where there's a lot of trouble, then you've learned not to take peace for granted. But that word peace here doesn't just mean absence of warfare or of hatred. It's so much more. That as we have God's smile put upon us, we are blessed with his completeness, with his soundness, with welfare, with absence from strife, with restoration and renewal to a true and deep friendship, tranquility and contentment. That's his blessing. Verse 27 helps us to see just how personal all of this is. At the end of all of it, God simply says, I myself will bless them. Yeah, Aaron and Moses get to announce this, but it's God who blesses. He is the gift giver and he is the gift. And then the real heart of it all, by this you will put my name on my people. That's the ultimate blessing. God puts his name on you. You are his adopted, beloved child, now and forever. He is your God, your Father. He's put his name. That name represents his character and his possessions, which are everything. His glory, which he shares with us. But, you know, those are the particulars. We actually need to step back and see some of the bigger picture here. Notice, Moses and Aaron don't go to God and say, God, you know, these people we have here, they're sort of hard. They want something more. What do you have for me today? No, God initiates. God goes to Moses and Aaron and says, this is what I want you to do. This is who I am, and here's what I'm giving. Secondly, in our translation here, we keep seeing this word Lord. And if you again have a good Bible that has that in all caps, it's telling you something there. Because the Jews were so worried about taking God's name in vain that whenever the scripture used that personal name Yahweh or Jehovah, they would translate it Lord. And so whenever you see that Lord in all caps, really think of that personal name of God, Yahweh. It's that name that reflects all those blessings. Lord, it doesn't quite get at it. Yahweh does. Remember, it's his personal name in Exodus 3 and Exodus 6. Moses goes and says, God, who should I tell him sent me? And there for the first time, God reveals his personal name. I am he. I am Yahweh. That name Yahweh expresses and gives a glimpse and invites you to share in the fact that he is eternal. It can be translated, I am that I am. And he wants us to know him as the one who is above time and greater than time. Most of all, though, it expresses his faithfulness. For the rest of Scripture, it is that covenant name that's given to confirm everything he has promised he will do. Again and again. And so listen to it this way. Yahweh bless you and keep you. Yahweh make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. Yahweh lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. You are a blessed people. But the other side of this is also you're a humbled people. Who am I that God would so bless me? Part of it is I'm someone who needs to be blessed. I'm someone who needs to be provided for, to be protected, to be gracious, to receive mercy and peace, to see his smile. And as I recognize that, at its heart, this all humbles me because I need him. But even more than that, it humbles me because, again, I realize I don't deserve this. Again, truth in Scripture is often presented with strong contrast, and it requires a choice, and this is no different. Again, Scripture, Deuteronomy 28, makes clear, obedience brings blessings, disobedience receives curses. Abiding in the Lord brings abundant life. Going your own way brings death. As we think about these blessings of God, the one thing that should be abundantly clear is we don't deserve any of them. In fact, what we do deserve are curses, eternal curses. For we have fallen short by doing what God has said not to do and not doing what God has said to do. We have each gone our own way. Now, yes, we dress up going our own way and put God's name on it, but God's not fooled by any of that. We deserve only curses, and yet God blesses. Remember, he gives this to Moses and Aaron as they're going through the wilderness around there, grumbling and complaining on a regular basis. But God blesses. And it's here again we're reminded that he blesses in a much greater way through his Son. That God blesses because Jesus became sin. Jesus became a curse for you, for us. Jesus did not come for the righteous. There weren't any. But for the unrighteous. For those who were not worthy. For those who were his enemies. Ian Duguid, in his commentary on this, makes clear, the cross is the antithesis of this priestly benediction. Think about it. Did God the Father bless Jesus and keep him when he was on the cross? No. He handed him over to the power of those who hated him and wanted to kill him. Did God the Father make his face shine upon his Son when he was on the cross? Poured out his wrath and his crushing anger, pictured in darkness descending upon the whole land so his face could not be seen. Did God the Father turn his face toward Jesus on the cross and give him peace? No, he turned his face away, causing Jesus to cry out, my God, why have you forsaken me? You need to understand, as Jesus lifted his eyes towards the Father, towards heaven, for the first time in all eternity, there was no answering light from the Father's face. Jesus was bruised for our iniquity. He was broken for our sin. He was abandoned for our faithlessness. He was cursed so that you and I might be blessed. Again, Paul makes this clear. For your sake, God made him who had no sin to be sin, so that in him you might be the righteousness of God. And because Jesus did that, because he was faithful, on the third day the Father raised him up. That's what we're reminded of every Sunday. That he not only raised him from the dead, but exalted him to his right hand and put him back in the place of ultimate blessing. And as Jesus receives that blessing, he now shares it with us. In fact, right now, you are seated with him in the heavenly places, being blessed. Romans 8 reminds us that there is absolutely nothing in all of creation that can separate you from the Father's love and from the Father's blessing. The Father sees you in his Son, and even right now, though it's hard to see, he is blessing you. He is blessing us with every spiritual blessing in the Son. To be so blessed is God's good purpose for you. His good and precious gift to you. That's his mercy and his grace. Again, he gives this to the priest. And every time Israel gathers, they are pronounced this blessing and to put God's name, because we forget it. And this is the thing we desperately need. You know, some of you right now have been distracted from this gift. Distracted by loss, distracted by suffering. But right now, he is calling you back to it. He's calling you to forsake those empty cisterns that will not work and come to him from whom streams of living water flow. Some of you perhaps have never known these blessings, God's purposes for you. You've been living a rootless, hollow life. Won't you dare to cry out for the Lord to bless you right now? Not because you're worthy, not because you have to do anything to earn it, but because this is who he is, and this is what he loves to give. And he's given his only Son so that you too might no longer be an orphan, but might be his blessed child. And for those of you who are his, are you living in this blessing, and are you daring to ask for more? Because God's blessings are immeasurable. They cannot be contained. He loves to bless. Now again, that doesn't mean he's giving you what you want. But everything he gives is a blessing, and in keeping with everything that this blessing pronounces over you. Dare to ask him for more right now. And ask him for more of his Spirit so you would have eyes to see and ears to hear. And then know, finally hear, that as he blesses, because that's what he loves to do, he's actually inviting you to join in being like him, to become his blessing. Again, even as Moses would go and meet with him face to face, he would come out and reflect the glory of the Lord. And you are blessed to be a blessing. You are blessed so that you might share all that you have received. His provision, his protection, his mercy, his grace, his smile, his peace. May he bless each one of us. That even in the midst of this pandemic, we who are blessed would more and more be his blessing. Amen? Amen. Ladies, you're up. Let's pray. Oh Lord, even now, open our eyes to see, our ears to hear. Teach us that we are blessed. Remind us, overwhelm us with your blessings. And as we are, and as we receive, so help us to pass on. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Bring up the words here so you can all join with us. Come, thou fount of every blessing.
Come, thou fount of every blessing. Turn my heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never cease. for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious sonnet sung by flaming tongues above. Praise the mount I'm fixed upon it, mount of God's unchanging love. Here I raise my Ebenezer, hither by thy help I'm come, and I hope by thy good pleasure safely to arrive at home. Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God. He to rescue me from danger interposed his precious blood. Oh, to grace how great a debtor daily I'm constrained to be. Let that grace now like a fetter bind my wandering heart to thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, oh, take and seal it for thy courts above.
Lift your hands and be blessed. The Lord bless you and keep you. Yahweh make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. Yahweh lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace, now and forevermore. Amen.